Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a senior consultant at Letterkenny University Hospital claims the majority of people on waiting lists do not need to see a consultant. A 92-year-old woman has been left shaken after her home in South Inishowen was broken into over the weekend for the third time. A Donegal church that has a graveyard filled to capacity has had its plans for a new one rejected by a board plenala. And over 700 people attended a meeting in Fallcarra last night to voice opposition to applications for oyster farming licences on Ballinas Bay in Clohanilly. Those stories you follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, a senior consultant at Letterkenny University Hospital claims the majority of people on waiting lists do not need to see a consultant. Orthopaedic surgeon Dr. Peter O'Rourke says he held an extra waiting list clinic last week, and of the 13 patients called, 11 attended, and of those, 9 were discharged, the remainder 2 required further action. Latest figures from the Irish Medical Organisation says more than 500,000 people are waiting to see a consultant across a range of specialities. Dr. O'Rourke was speaking earlier on today's 9 till noon show. He says there appears to be a demand there from patients who want to see a consultant, which is having a knock-on effect on waiting lists.
I did an extra waiting list clinic about a week ago. 13 people were booked in, 11 turned up. I think I referred one for physiotherapy. I think I'm seeing one again in 6 months' time. The other, I think 9 were discharged without any problems.
So of 13, 2 people required any follow-up?
Two people required anything.
Where's the problem there?
There's a number of aspects. People want to see a consultant rather than their GP a lot of the time. And quite often they wait to see a consultant rather than actually having treatment. So in my specialty orthopaedics, say if you have knee pain, you don't need me to tell you you have knee pain. You need to go to a physiotherapist and do some treatment. If the treatment works, then you don't need to see anybody. But an awful lot of people bypass the treatment and wait to be seen by someone more senior to say you need treatment. So there's aspects
A GP's perhaps are on the side of caution too much?
Well, I suspect there is an element of that. There's also the demand of patients who feel they have to be seen in the hospital and they want to see the consultant. And unfortunately, as a surgeon, I would say that less than about 8 or 9% of patients that I see ever require an operation.
Wow. This should be filtered before they get to you, though, shouldn't they?
Well, we do our utmost to filter them, but it's very difficult.
A 92-year-old woman has been left shaken after her home in South Inishowen was broken into over the weekend for the third time. Two men are believed to have gained access to the property in the Maharabeg area through a back window at around 10 o'clock on Sunday morning last. The house was ransacked before the intruders made off with a small sum of money. A forensic examination of the scene has been carried out and investigations are continuing. The woman's niece Anne spoke with Greg Hughes earlier. She believes the break-in was premeditated.
She's a 92-year-old lady. She was in their house on Sunday morning around about 10 a.m. Two young men, aged about 18 to 25 years old, they gained access to her home through a back window in the kitchen. They ransacked her house. She was very lucky that she didn't encounter, because she was in the bathroom and she's a bit hard of hearing, and they were up the stairs ransacking her house. They came down and they stole some money from her, not a great deal of money, but at the same time, it's her life is the most important thing. They just left, they jumped over a wall and they ran up the road towards Maharabeg. She was very shook up, the family was very shook up, the police were very good, and there was a forensic team member there. But he did say that they were wearing gloves and that they used a tool to open the back window. This was a premeditated robbery.
Talks are continuing between meat industry representatives, the beef plan movement, farming organisations and government officials to try to resolve a dispute over beef prices. Pickets by beef farmers outside plants have been suspended to see if there's any breakthrough at today's meeting at the Department of Agriculture in County Kildare. Beef plan movement members and individual farmers have been protesting outside factories for nearly 2 weeks over what they say is a crisis in their sector. Speaking on his way into the meeting, the president of the Irish Farmers Association Association, Joe Healy, says progress must be made.
First of all, we're determined that progress is made in here today to address the severe income crisis that Irish beef farmers have endured. And I think it's very fair to say that factories have decimated the confidence, the hope, the viability of Irish farmers over the last few months and last few years. This has to change, and the Minister has to be involved in that change.
A Donegal church that has a graveyard at full to capacity has had its plans for a new graveyard rejected by an Bord Pleanála. The Roman Catholic Church in Letchabara, just outside Donegal town, is said to be in urgent need of additional graveyard space. Greg Hughes reports.
The council had originally given permission for the new graveyard located on the adjoining and now derelict parochial house and would measure 22 metres by 28 metres. Local parish priest Father Francis Ferry instructed the application to be made as the current graveyard across the road from the existing church and located on a steep hill was full to capacity. A local resident objected to the planning, claiming the new graveyard would pollute both surface and groundwater and present an unacceptable risk. They claimed the existing watercourse flows directly within 700 metres of salmon spawning beds of the Eneymore water fishery, and as a result, the application should be refused. In overturning the council's decision, the planning board said it could not be satisfied on the basis of the information submitted in connection with the application and appeal that the site can be satisfactorily drained and would not pose a risk to groundwater and surface water in the area. They added the development would be prejudicial to public health and contrary to the proper planning and sustainable development of the area.
Over 700 people attended a meeting in Falkara last night to voice opposition to applications for oyster farming licences on Ballinas Bay in Clohanealy. The Save Ballinas Bay committee says the turnout is indicative of the opposition in the area to the proposals. The committee claims that proper notification wasn't given and Minister Michael Cree did not consult with the local community as he is legally bound to do. Committee spokesperson John Conaghan says the people are resolute in their opposition.
The hall was full to the back. A lot of local people, a lot of concerned people, delighted to see that we were able to spread the news to the local community.
You have been in touch with the minister, you're in touch obviously with the planning authorities. How much of a chance do you believe you have of countering this application?
If there's any democracy in this country at all, we should be in with every chance. We have explained our position to them. There was a very flawed consultation process. It didn't appear in local newspapers that are widely read. On the basis that it appeared in English in a gilted area, there are several reasons why this whole process is flawed.
Do you believe this could form the basis of potentially a legal challenge sometime into the future?
We hope it won't go that far. We hope that various ministers, Minister Creed and the Minister for the Environment, will see sense. This is not a sustainable development in our area. The whole area is up in arms about it. We would hope that we will not have to go that far, but we'll take it as we find it.
Meanwhile, the Cathaoirleach of the Glenties Municipal District, Councillor John Hamish O'Farrey, has rallied behind the group. He too is calling on Minister Michael Cree to intervene before the plans go any further.
I attended a meeting last night in Falkara and there was a huge amount of people there from the community concerned about the Ballina Bay if this development happens. And we're talking about 50 football fields the size of this project, and there's 18 licences in with the department at the moment. And in my opinion, the way the consultation, the public consultation, has not been met in relation to these licences being awarded, because it only came to light in the last 5 weeks that such a project was being proposed in the Bay, and local people now are very annoyed of the way this has turned out. And with the public meeting last night to the local committee there, that the presentation that they had was crystal clear of the development that was going to happen in the Bay and how the people felt that the impact this will have on the community, the Bay and the tourism industry as well, which we depend on much in the Clonmany area.
And indeed, this was raised at Dáil level as well, so it's time now that the Minister did step up to the mark and address it.
Well, I'll be asking my colleague Piers Dunne to raise this again in the Dáil, and I'll be writing to Minister Crate in relation to this and to have this reassessed again, because in my opinion the process has not been properly thought through, and the people are pretty angry of the way this has progressed without local people knowing this was occurring. It only came to light in the newspaper in the local area, only for somebody that seen it, this would have happened. I know the closing date is there, but this has to be thought that this may, and the development does not go ahead.
The HSE is being urged to clarify if women can expect longer delays getting the results of smear tests from cervical check. Dublin-based Medlaw Pathology will no longer carry out work for the screening programme after it cleared a backlog of 55,000 slides last week. The overall backlog is now at 28,000, and it will be up to US lab Quest Diagnostics to clear most of that. Sinn Féin's health spokesperson Louise O'Reilly says women need assurances that there won't be a reduction in capacity or rise in waiting times.
Any reduction in capacity is going to have an impact on waiting times. That's really, really worrying. And I think that we need to have the HSE now out in front, letting women know exactly what the implications are going to be.
A new community incentive scheme has been launched to support cross-border river catchment improvement projects in the rivers Arney, Blackwater and Finn. The project is being managed by Catchment Care and is a €14 million project in partnership with Donegal County Council, funded under the European Union's Interreg 5A programme, which aims to improve freshwater quality in river basins. Trish Lafferty has more.
Funding available through the Community Incentive Scheme will be made available to support communities who are interested in looking after their local river systems and associated lakes. Speaking about the scheme, Project Manager Con McLaughlin says CIS has been designed to help local communities contribute to the improved management of their local river catchments and is open to a wide variety of organisations, including volunteer groups, community groups and NGOs, schools and third level education organisations, youth groups and sports clubs, not-for-profit organisations and farming groups. Funding of up to €25,000 is available to help connect communities with their local rivers. The closing date for the current round of funding is 4 p.m. on Friday, October 4th.
An anonymous Belfast-based business has donated over €10,000 to the family of Nora Quarren to be offered as a reward. The 15-year-old has been missing in Malaysia for 9 days and her family believe she was abducted. In a press conference today, police confirmed that Irish, French and British authorities are helping with the investigation. Her mother Maeve read out a statement earlier.
50,000 ringgit has been donated by an anonymous Belfast-based business for any information that directly helps us to find Nora.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for back to school with leading sports brands at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with soccer and some good news for two North West clubs involved in the second round draw of the FAI Senior Cup. Both Glengad United and Derry City have been handed home ties for the next round. We'll start with Glengad United, who became the first Donegal team to reach the first round proper. In doing so, they'd of course beat St Michael's down in Tipperary last Saturday afternoon on penalties to progress now through to the second round. And having been on the road five times in last season's FAI Junior Cup and also on the road in the Senior Cup, they now have a home tie once again, and it's going to be against Premier Division opposition. Waterford United have been drawn against Glengad United in the second round of the FAI Junior Cup, and that game is to be played on the weekend, the 25th of August, which is the weekend after next. Derry City have also been handed a home tie. And it's going to be a tough one for Declan Devine, say, because they're taking on the champions of the league, Dundalk. That game will be played at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium on that same weekend, but Glengad and Derry both getting home ties. The rest of the second round draw is Sligo Rovers at home against Limerick. UCD will play host to St Patrick's Athletic. Drogheda United will make the short trip down the motorway to Dublin to play Shamrock Rovers, the side who of course beat Harps on Friday night. Galway United are at home against Cork City in an all-junior affair or an on-league affair. Crumlin United are taking on Lucan United, while Bohemians will play host to the winners of Longford Town or Athlone Town. Seamus Coleman says he's very, very proud to be named captain of a great football club. Right back Coleman was confirmed as Everton's full-time skipper at the weekend and wore the armband in Saturday's scoreless draw with Crystal Palace.
Yeah, very proud, you know, coming to the club a long time ago and, you know, just wanting to get in the team. But now to be Everton captain is an amazing feeling. But, you know, without talking down to the Everton captaincy, it doesn't change who I am or what I do. You know, with or without an armband, I give my all for this football club. Whether I play well or don't play well, I give my all. And, you know, the armband's a nice touch, but it won't change how I go about my day-to-day business. And, you know, wouldn't it be great to finally win something at Everton and being captain would be that extra bit special.
When were you told that you were going to be captain for the season?
We found out this week, just in the lead up to this game. The manager spoke to us and announced it. So, as I said, it was a very proud moment for myself. You know, a reward for, you know, all the hard work over the years. But, you know, it's an armband on my arm, and as I said, it's not going to change how I go about my day-to-day business. But very, very proud to be captain of such a great football club, a massive football club. So I'm delighted.
Great to see Seamus Coleman, Met skipper of Everton for the season ahead in the Premier League. There's one game tonight in the Gorycourt Youth Cup preliminary round. It sees Milford United playing host to Bunnygee United. That one's going to kick off at 7 o'clock this evening. We go to Gaelic Games, and Kerry looks set to appeal Stephen O'Brien's suspension, which would rule him out of the All-Ireland football final. The Kenmare forward picked up his third black card of the campaign late in yesterday's 118-18 semi-final win over Tyrone at Croke Park. It's believed Kerry are hoping to overturn the black card O'Brien received in their Super 8 win over Meath. So Tyrone came up short at the semi-final stage this year, having been in the final 12 months ago, losing out to the Kingdom at GAA headquarters yesterday. Martin McHugh feels Tyrone should have put Kerry away when they were on top for most of the game.
Yeah, well, I was impressed enough with Tyrone. I think the mistake they made is they kept the one target tactic, and that was to hit Cal McShane and hit Cal McShane and keep hitting him. And, you know, when that went wrong, they ran into bother when maybe from, you know, Cal missed that easy enough free and then a couple of wides, but he was very, very good. But I thought they just should have maybe ran more ball. And the other thing is they should have put them away when they're on top. I thought the referee took Kerry back into the game. I thought he gave Kerry a few easy frees now at big times in the game and that there. So, but I think that, and I didn't understand why Niall Sludden was taken off. I thought he was having a good game. I know he dropped one short at that situation, but I just think the Tyrone are not that far away. Supposedly big talk now in Tyrone of do they need a change of manager or anything else. I know Mickey Hart will make that decision himself if he, you know, wants to stay or not. So I think this, you know, I still think they're probably as close as any other team to them. They're a fair bit off them, but they're as close as any other team, and they've a lot of quality of young players, like young Peter Canham's son now coming in as well, who's a lot of quality.
So what do Kerry have to do to stop the Dublin runaway train? Jim Gavin's side remained firmly on course for 5 in a row and made that huge statement on Saturday with the dismantlement of Mayo in the third quarter of their semi-final. Is it inevitable that the mighty Dubs will lift Sam again? Martin is off that belief.
It definitely looks that way, having watched the two games at the weekend. You know, that period, the start of the second half, probably was the best we've nearly ever seen from this Dublin team in the last 5 years. But I think that just looking at the stats during that period at the start of the second half, they had 14 attacks, they took 12 shots, and they scored 3-7. That, you know, just shows you the way they play. They hold on to the ball, they work it in towards, they keep the D open, and then I had a great view of it. It was right behind them for the two goals, and the way they pull out the player and then they turn him back inside Oisín and they get on the end of it and they leave that space in front of the D. But it was awesome football, you know.
Awesome football from the Dubs. And you can hear more from Martin McHugh by going to the sports section off our website, highlandradio.com. Finally, we go to cricket. And there's one game being played in North County Dublin today as the North West Warriors are on the road taking on the Leinster Lightning on a 3-day interprovincial. The bowlers of the Warriors have had a good day so far. With 42 overs played a short time ago, Leinster were sitting on 114 runs with 8 wickets gone as they head to the end of a close on day one of that one. That's it. Next Sporting Highlands tomorrow morning after the 8 news, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisín. For weather and eye, bright or sunny spells this evening and scattered showers. Some of the showers will be heavy with a risk of thunder. It will be dry in most areas overnight with clear spells and lowest temperatures of 6 to 8 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a senior consultant at Letterkenny University Hospital claims the majority of people on waiting lists do not need to see a consultant. Orthopaedic surgeon Dr. Peter O'Rourke says he held an extra waiting list clinic last week, and of the 13 patients called, 11 attended, and of those, 9 were discharged. The remainder two required further action. A 92-year-old woman has been left shaken after her home in South Inishowen was broken into over the weekend for the third time. Two men are believed to have gained access to the property in the Maharabeg area through a back window at around 10 o'clock on Sunday morning last. A Donegal church that has a graveyard full to capacity has had its plans for a new graveyard rejected by Bord Planala. The Roman Catholic Church in Letchabara, just outside Donegal town, is said to be in urgent need of additional graveyard space. And over 700 people attended a meeting in Falkara last night to voice opposition to applications for oyster farming licences on Ballyness Bay in Clohanilly. The Save Ballyness Bay committee says the turnout is indicative of the opposition in the area to the proposals. Well, that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Monday evening, August the 12th. The death has taken place of Margaret Jean Malpas Deary Keena Mallinhead. Her remains will be reposing at Carndonagh Community Hospital Chapel of Rest this evening from 5:30 until 8 o'clock and tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Funeral leaving there on Wednesday morning at 11:30, going to Lakelands Crematorium Cavan for cremation at 4 o'clock. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to Mallinhead Defibrillator Group. The death has taken place of Henry Blaney, Ross Kirk, Portsallan. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Sally McLaughlin, 101, Ringsend Road, Drumahammer, Limavady. Funeral from her home on Wednesday morning at 9:20 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Limavady, with interment afterwards in Christ the King Cemetery. Family time please from 10 p.m. until 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Jeanette Etta Brown, née Tinney, 43 Sean Road, Sion Mills. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon in the Church of the Good Shepherd at Sion Mills at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Castlederg New Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Foyle Hospice and the Spare and Sweet Alna Galvin Hospital and the Church of the Good Shepherd, care of any family member or Terence McClintock funeral directors. The death has taken place of Dermot Lynch, 6 Curly Hill Road, Strabann, and formerly of Killaloe, County Clare. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabann, at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in St Mary's Cemetery, Alton Ure. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Mary McNulty, Dunmore Lane, Falkara. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in St Finian's Church, Falkara, on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock, house private from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to Falkara Nursing Unit, care of any family member or Carton Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Jim Sheridan, Drumscrow Road, Drumquin. Funeral from his late residence tomorrow morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Langfield, Drumquin, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. House private please from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has occurred of Breda Ferry, Moira Falkara. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral tomorrow morning with Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St Finian's Church, Falkara, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. No flowers please, donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Carton's funeral directors. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. The death has occurred of Desi Egan, Main Street, Pedico. His remains will repose at his residence today until 9 o'clock. Removal at 10:30 tomorrow morning to arrive at St Mary's Church, Pedico, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, before the funeral tomorrow.
The death has taken place of Mary Boyle, Box Remelton. Her remains are reposing at her home. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Remelton, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice at care of any family member. The death has taken place of Michael Lynch at the Carry Flask Dumfries. His remains are reposing at his home, with funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, going to St Mary's Church Cock Hill for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Sean Boner, 17 5 Acre Strabane. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmide at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Melmide Manor Residents Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. The death has taken place of Margaret McGranahan, née Graham, 19 Ferndale Strabane, formerly of Main Street, Sion Mills. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmide at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. The death has taken place of Francis Vulcan Burge, née Kelly, Nijlin, Belgium, and formerly of Creeslaw. Funeral Mass at St. Willy Bordas Church, Nijlin, Belgium, on Friday morning at 10 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has occurred of Mary Gallagher, Castleknock, Dublin, and formerly of Kinney Cally, St. Johnston. Her remains will repose at Cunningham's Funeral Home, Blanchardstown, from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow morning to the Church of Our Lady, Mother of the Church, Castleknock, arriving for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in Balgriffin Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to ABI and NCBI.